Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today on this Monday around the country? What's going on? Tiki and Tierney from our studio here in New York City, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Tiki is out. Obviously recharging the battery. Certainly deserves it. So I'm going solo for a couple of days. Tiki, I think, is Tiki definitely back Friday, or he might be back Friday? Might be back Friday, right? All right. So anyway, you cut it. We'll do our thing. Modest Tiki. But you know how we do the show. It doesn't really change a whole lot. A little different vibe when I'm solo. A little different vibe when Tiki is solo. The best vibe is when we're together. But obviously we get vacation. We get a chance to have a little fun. And Tiki will be back either Friday or Monday. I had an awesome weekend. I mean, we're going to get to this Mets situation, which actually transcends New York and the Mets. I'm not going to waste an hour on the New York Mets here, but the little meltdown in the clubhouse is certainly worth discussing. But my weekend was pretty damn awesome. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. So I was in Indianapolis for the Big Three. The relationship, this is the third year for the league and the first with CBS. Right, so they kicked it off in Detroit, Little Caesars Arena, on Saturday night, and they had roughly almost 15,000 people there. It was incredible. We were watching it in Indianapolis, obviously. That's where I was for Sunday's games. And, you know, I knew that the Big Three was going to be fun, and I knew that the Big Three was going to be cool. I didn't know that the Big Three was as buttoned up as it really is. Like, you go to, you know, and I was around the Knicks for many years in the mid-2000s. They were terrible, but at least I got to see what it was like, and they're still terrible. And, you know, you go to an NBA game, and it's like there's a lot behind the scenes. You know, the interviews, the pregame production, you know, the cheerleaders, the dance team, the music, obviously everything you have to choreograph. And I didn't know that the Big Three would be quite this big of a production. And it really is. And I'll tell you what, from the point of view of just watching basketball, it's fast. The arena is intimate. It's obviously half the court. It's incredibly fan-friendly. And I'm sitting there at one point on Saturday night because I flew in Saturday. And, you know, again, it's very official. They have 30-minute practice intervals. Six teams were in Indianapolis, six in Detroit. They had expansion this year. So we go to the Pacers practice facility. And, you know, they've got, you know, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes, shoot around. You get a chance to talk with the head coach and the best player on each team. And I'm looking around saying, well, all right, there's Lisa Leslie, Hall of Famer. There's Rick Barry, Hall of Famer. There's the Iceman. I got to tell you a story about the Iceman and Dr. J in a second. Dr. J, there's Nate Tiny Archibald. Five of the six coaches are in the Hall of Fame. At least, you know, five of the six coaches that I was around yesterday. And the one coach that's not in the Hall of Fame is Charles Oakley. And he's first ballot on the NBA, you know, badass Hall of Fame, you know, if there was such a thing. So I'm talking to Dr. J. Where's my notes? And I asked Dr. J at one point, I said, Doc, we talked about a multitude of things. Mike Bibby, I had a chance to chat with Jermaine O'Neal. I mean, Dr. J talking about Connie Hawkins and... And I asked one point, this actually didn't even make the broadcast. We didn't have time for this, but I thought you guys would enjoy this. I said, Doc, I always wanted to ask you this. This was off camera. I said, every day, you know, we debate on the radio, you know, greatest of all time, LeBron, MJ. We know all the names we throw our top 10, Wilt, Oscar Robertson. Some put Dr. J there, although most don't, to be fair. Larry Bird, Magic, Tim Duncan, Shaq on the back end, Kobe perhaps for some. I said, Doc, where do you put yourself, right? And he thought, very pensive, very, very measured, very mellow, very much, very. You could tell he's very, very, so we knew this about Doc, but being near him as long as I was, you get it even more. Incredibly classy. He just emits dignity. It finally gets around to his hand. He goes, I'm on the second team. I'm saying to myself, second team? I'm like, so he's gonna leave off some people that I would, with all due respect to the great Dr. J, maybe put in front of Dr. J. So he goes, here's my first team. And then we found out, by the way, that it was a generational thing because he didn't put LeBron. I'm like, well, I mean, is this a little haterade going on, or is he just going to end it with guys he kind of played with? And that's really pretty much what he did. He went Wilt. He went Oscar. He went Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Bill Russell, team one. Team two, himself. He put Michael, Kareem, Magic, and Bird. So it was really, really cool. And then I asked the Iceman, who's one of the coolest guys walking the planet, say, we got to get George on the show again. We had him a couple of years ago. We'll get him on again. I said, George, I said, you know, we were talking about the concept of 3-on-3. And I think you guys will really enjoy this story. From a basketball and, amazingly, a golf point of view, an analogy that I brought up to him that he agreed with. And I said, you know, the 3-on-3 aspect of what you're coaching now, you know, when you started playing, how advantageous was it to just go in the schoolyard and go one-on-one and eventually, you know, matriculate up to 5-on-5? And I never looked at it this, maybe because I was never any good, but I never looked at it in this manner. So, you know, I played one-on-one, and then I just knew I could roast people. And obviously he's George Gervin, so he roasted everybody. But then as I got a little bit older and I got up to, and this is really surreal, this is the next level of thinking, as I got up to 2-on-2, once I beat my guy, which was easy, now I learned to look for the help defense, and then I start to see the game expand, and then I had to learn how to beat the second guy. And then eventually you start playing 3-on-3, and once I'm lighting everybody up, now the third guy's coming, now I got to look to pass. And the game opened up in a very organic manner. And I said, man, I really never looked at it that way, obviously. I said, the only thing that I could, you know, possibly correlate it to, and a lot of people say this, although, of course, I didn't do this, which is why I'm probably a 20 handicap. Good golfers, if I'm even a 20, good golfers, you want to start on the green. And you want to learn how to putt. And you want to learn how to chip. And you want to learn how to little bump and runs and navigate the bunkers and the undulations and the green and get a short game. It's how you score. Instead of, you know, most clowns, we grab a driver and we try to crush it. And we never really get good. And we really never learn how to score. The point being, and he's a golfer, he was wearing a ping hat, he said, that's awesome. He goes, that's absolutely true. A golfer, you want to learn how to score, you start from the green, you work your way back to the tee box. As a basketball player, you want to learn how to, you know, move up from 1-on-1 to 5-on-5. It's actually a pretty interesting thing. He bought it. So it was just a great weekend, and I was honored to be a part of it. I sincerely mean that. I mean, you know, it's crazy. You know, I'm lucky and blessed to have done some really cool things. Granted, I've worked hard for it, but you got to get lucky, and you have to be surrounded by great people, not just your family, but great companies as well. And to hang out with Dr. J and George Gervin, gentlemen I never saw play in their prime, I was too young for that, and Ice Cube. And here's what I want to say about Cube, and then we'll truly move on. He's out there in Detroit on Saturday night. He's got a bus, which, as you can imagine, is pretty sweet. Then he rolls in from Motown to Indianapolis to do the next game on to be there. And I walk into the arena. He's shooting baskets. And he's working. And he's hustling. Like, I kind of thought, I just kind of thought, maybe a bit of a front man, big name, you know, help leverage some companies, get some money. Which obviously is a smart way to run a business, use your name to get money to help get things going. No way. Ice Cube's there. Literally every aspect of the production involved, incredibly friendly and gracious and humble. And it was really awesome to see. Like a grassroots, organic, roll up my sleeves, no false pretense. Forget about NWA, forget about movies, forget about albums, forget about the millions I've made. I'm here to see this thing work. And I know that was probably a little longer than I thought I'd go on the Big Three to start the show. But let me tell you something. If you are near, and I don't get a dollar, I get paid for what I do. I don't get a dollar more for if I sell tickets. I really don't. If you're near a Big Three event, take your kids. It is intimate, it is cool, and it is fun. And I wanted to say that. And I want to thank those guys again for trusting me with their product to be a very small part of it. It was really awesome. All right. So the exact opposite of awesome is the Mets. Now, listen. Again, I'm not going to bore everybody with the, you know, the nuance. But basically, what happened was he stuck with Lugo. Lugo gave up a three-run bomb. He wasn't sure if Diaz could get the five outs. He was in an ornery mood. I get it. And there was a confrontation, I'll put quotes around that, in the clubhouse following the game. Now, there was no cameras rolling on this. There were cameras back in the day when Bobby Bonilla got into it. Only the Mets. Only the Mets. Only the Mets can do stuff like this. The same Mets organization that fired Willie Randolph, fired him after he flew out 3,000 miles to Anaheim, California. They told him at 2:30 in the morning, oh, yeah, by the way, Willie, you're fired. I mean, there's just certain franchises that do things well, and there's certain franchises that don't. And there's certain franchises that are inherently smart and classy and perceptive. And there are certain franchises that are not. And guess which category the Mets fall into? The not category. But I want to say this because I think Mickey Callaway, because it's the Mets and because they've made a litany of mistakes over the years, you know, and it's incredibly well documented. You know, I love David Cone, but I mean, Coney in the bullpen, you know, doing you know, that situation. You know, Brett Saberhagen firing bleach at reporters. Vince Coleman throwing a firecracker. I mean, they're just a clown show all these years, the Mets. Clown show. I'm not going to be lazy, and I'm not going to lump in what happened yesterday. I'm not going to overreact. Yesterday was benign. What the hell really happened yesterday? Oh, my God. A manager dropped the F-bomb. Oh, no. Fire him. Suspend him. You know? Send him to rehab. He's morally corrupt. He dropped an F-bomb at another grown man. We can't have this in 2019. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Mickey Callaway. Now, let me also be abundantly clear when I say this. Mickey Callaway is not a very good manager. I don't think that he is. But I think that Mickey Callaway is a very decent person, a good man, and a good baseball man. Probably in the wrong city, probably in the wrong league, and probably in the wrong position. I don't think he's a manager yet. Even though he is one, you know what I mean. I think it was too big of a transition to go from a pitching coach in the American League when there's no double switches and just the nuance of the game is different, to all of a sudden managing in New York with all the intangibles that the National League present. All right. So I could have very easily started this show and turned this into, oh, my God, you know, not, Mickey's got to go. Jason, the one guy who should know better, and I probably should, Jason Vargas has to know better. Relax, Jason. Take it easy. There's a couple of reporters that I know. And one of them's an old school guy, Wally Matthews, who I love. And if you're a big boxing fan, you know Wally. If he ever pulled that, I used to work with Wally back in the day. If he ever pulled that nonsense with Wally, Wally would have confronted him, and Wally would have knocked him down. I mean, there's certain guys. I don't know the what is his name, Healy. Well, Mike, Healy, right from Newsday. You know, I'm not immersed in the day to day local scene. I'm a national host. I really don't read Newsday, quite frankly. I don't have any need to. From what I've deduced, and I did certainly check in FAN earlier, you know, and even people who do this daily, they don't really know much about him because he's relatively new to the scene in this aspect. But those who do know him vouch for him being a very decent guy. So the root of this issue, apparently, is he said, "I'll see you tomorrow," to Mickey Callaway. This was after, you know, Mickey, tough loss. I get it. Three-run bomb. Question. Tough loss. No question. But I thought everything kind of simmered down. And then when Mickey was leaving, this reporter said, "I'll see you tomorrow." Now, some took that as, and I'm going to give the reporter the benefit of the doubt, as I'm giving Mickey for just having a bad day. Mickey shouldn't be fined or penalized or apologized. Give me a break. Didn't do anything wrong. Again, Vargas is a little different. He should know better. Lunging at a reporter. Give me a break. But the reporter, in the eyes of some, again, which I don't agree with, it was a way of him saying, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know if you'll be here tomorrow because you just got your pitching coach fired. And I think we were all smart enough to know that you're next. And again, I'm just, again, deducing, connecting dots. You know, these are the storylines with the Mets. I don't think it was said in a flippant, arrogant, condescending, derisive way. I just don't. And if he said it that way, then maybe he deserved to get stepped to. Maybe. I don't think he's that kind of guy. Because people who really know him vouch for his character. And, I trust those people who were speaking about this gentleman. So what does this really mean? I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. Mike, you're in New York. Did I miss something here?
Well, I think you have it more closely with the Vargas thing, right? I think the problem is when you're a manager and you're the leader of men and you act this way towards a reporter and then one of your players lashes out and has to be restrained and held back from attacking the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Had he just said MF-er or called him whatever he called him, Callaway?
Well, that's all he did. Vargas's actions are separate.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Had that been the only thing,
uh-huh.
No one would have cared.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Vargas went after him. Now it makes Callaway look like he, I don't want to say instigated.
Well, like he lit the match and it kind of lit the tensions. But that's not fair.
Well,
I know what you're saying.
When you're the manager, it's your job to control your players to an extent.
Uh-huh.
And if they're going to feel like they have a free reign. Now, again,
what, the latitude? Of yes. Like you're talking about a culture. Like it's a culture to feel the freedom to do that.
Yes.
You want to drop that on, even in a very passive way, drop that on Callaway's doorstep?
I mean, generally speaking, when, you know, whether it's a college coach, we talk about his program, whether he had any knowledge of certain things, we
yep.
say you should have.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a professional manager, you're managing egos and you're managing millionaires and adult men,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of have to know how to control them. And by doing it the first time, MFing the guy the first time,
yep.
fine. To come back afterwards and do it again and get him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is you're instigating your guys to be pissed off at this. He's not an old guy. He's a kid, I think.
Yeah.
You know, probably 20s, maybe 30s.
He's young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're kind of nudging your guys, maybe not to lunge at him, but to certainly take action in some other way.
Okay. I want to get into this, and I want to hit a different angle coming up here. 1-855-212-4227. I think at the root of all of this, and I'll definitely take calls, because there's a couple of different ways to see this, and you can obviously imagine if this happened in your market, with your team, with your manager, with your pitcher. But it's a common mistake, all right? I'm going to leave it at that. I will explain what I mean in a minute, but it's a common mistake, and it's unfair, and it's lazy, but good for us. It's correctable. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so hopefully you had a great weekend. Tiki and Tierney, Modest Tiki's off for a couple of days. CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a bit. Let's see what Samther cooked up today. A little something on CP3 and the Rockets. That's forthcoming. A little something on the Sixers and their summer plan. It's forthcoming as well. Okay. A little old school, new school. This one is going to be fun with the Eckersley criticizing a young player. I like that one. And then Albert Pujols. There was no way he wasn't going yard this weekend. I mean, the baseball gods, they know what's up. I mean, you had to give him one. Can you imagine if he was like 1-for-14 with 11 whiffs, you know, like a couple of meager ground outs to the right side. He deserved that. You know, you still have to put bat on ball, and whether you believe in, you know, the baseball gods or greater forces than that, everything came together, and it was awesome. That was a great moment for baseball. So we got that coming up next segment. Speaking of baseball, at least in terms of, you know, as a starting point, you know, the Mets, with the bullpen malfunction, what else is new? Mickey Callaway, he's drowning on a lot of levels. You know what's crazy about this, guys? I didn't even save this first segment. But like the Mets, the Mets, Alonso is going to hit 50 home runs this season. I was at the airport Saturday going to Indianapolis for the Big Three, and he's on my fantasy team. So, you know, I'm just a baseball fan, so I'm checking scores on the CBS Sports app. And I said, Alonso went deep again. This kid's out of his mind. And then I went on Twitter and I saw the actual clip of him going yard. It was what I did was I actually took a freeze frame, and then I like to draw. I got to do a little, like I'm a coach, you know. I got to do the telestrator on Twitter, because once I figured that out about a year and a half ago, now it's another toy for me to mess around with. And the home run that he hit, it was, first of all, it was perfectly placed. Catcher's shin guard. Hey, Alonso's a righty, so if you're watching on TV, I'll be the other side of the batter's box, and low. And Alonso was actually fooled, like, he was, like, out in front of the ball. He was out of, not incredible, but definitely fooled a bit. Hands back, but body forward. The ball was a great pitcher's pitch. He hit it 420 feet. Boom. So, for Alonso to do what he does, for McNeil to turn into Ty Cobb, and the Mets still aren't good. Like, think about that. Alonso's going to hit 50 bombs, and McNeil's going to hit 330, and they're still not good. That's hard to do. All right, so let me at least pay this off. I said before I went to break, the first break, I said, you know, a common mistake, and it's easy to do, and I do it too. I definitely do it on occasion. I try not to, but I'm not special. I'm just like you. I do it too. But a common mistake is that we lump past failures, past indiscretions, and we generally fail to give the benefit of the doubt, or even worse than that, divorce said indiscretions from new regimes. Like, it's easy, like, and I just did it first segment. I didn't even really mean to do it. I just basically railed on the Mets. And on some levels, they certainly have earned that, no question. But Mickey Callaway's, it's been there a minute. Mickey Callaway, why would I or anybody lump him into Jeff Torborg, if you're old enough to remember that circus, or Art Howe, who was asleep half the time. Good man, but half asleep in the dugout. Or when they fired Willie Randolph, and I did reference it, at 2:30 in the morning after he flew out west 3,000. Hey, Willie, who's at the door? Oh, it's Omar Minaya. Hey, what's up, Omar? Hey, you fired. That's how they fired him. Santa, I bet you forgot those details. That's how they fired him. Trading Tom Seaver in 1970. These are all things that different ownership, different GM, different people were involved in. So I say that because I want to try to be... And I want you, I want us, and I think you would certainly co-sign this. I want to be better than that. Like, the Mets of 2019 deserve criticism. And the Mets ownership being cheap, and their circumstances when they got played's not the proper word, but, you know, in the Madoff scheme. And I guess that's not their fault. But I just don't like it when... You see this in politics. You see this in every aspect of the world. When you have somebody who maybe did something wrong in the past, and when they do something good, you really aren't able to acknowledge that. And I'm not saying today's the day you get on the air and praise the Mets. It's a day that you bury the Mets, for sure. But I don't know that you bury them in one sweeping swath of disgust. It's easy to lump all those years of futility into now. But I'm trying to evaluate this on its own merit. And I say all that because here's my conclusion, if you just tuned in. What Mickey Callaway did, not a big deal, not even close to being a big deal. And listen, Santer does raise a fair point. I will definitely acknowledge this. You know, when you drop the MF, all right, that's obviously no big deal. And then when you go back to the well, it's certainly more antagonistic. I get it. Fair point, Mike. Fair retort. Now you're inflaming it further. That fuse is getting a little longer. That match is getting a little brighter, a little hotter. And when that happens, things become combustible. And then you look at Vargas. Now, I do think, and I do, I view Vargas's actions differently and separately from Mickey Callaway. And you know, something else Mike said that makes some sense. Like, any player that feels the ability to lunge at a reporter, maybe it's a bit of a leap of faith, but I do think you probably have to at least incorporate this into the conversation for a moment. is there something wrong with the culture where that has never been communicated, where there's a freedom, where players feel as if they can do that? And if that's the case, well, then that's obviously a bigger issue. Yeah, Mike.
Or you can even look at it as I hear you saying the things that I was saying. I almost now have convinced myself almost the opposite. Man, my brain is just all over the place.
Well, you were in Chicago. You were on a yacht all weekend. Your brain should be all over the place.
Yeah, in a good way, though. But, like, you know, I can argue with myself for hours. I feel like I need to see a therapist. But maybe
sports radio is therapy, buddy.
But maybe the fact that Vargas felt the need to stick up for his manager shows that the players are behind him, and it's almost like a unifying moment.
That's true.
It could be the exact opposite of what I'm saying. Maybe it's like too much freedom, or they love this guy. They're going to fight for him, and they're going to back him. Or maybe these guys are just sensitive, and they can't handle the criticism that reporters give them.
Yep.
And this is around all sports. We see KD do this. We see all the guys in the NBA complain about the reporters. The NFL is always doing this.
Yeah.
Maybe we've gotten to a point where, you know, we know that reporters are a little bit, they try to jab, they try to get a needle at you. So I don't know if the reporters are a little bit too much or the players are too sensitive, but either way, there's something going on. There's a divide that you're seeing now that may not have been there before.
Now, but here's the thing. But it was there before. I mean, Deion Sanders dropped the bucket of ice water on Tim McCarver's head. Bobby Bonilla wanted to throw fists with somebody in the Mets clubhouse.
Kyle McCray.
I thought it was Clappish, right?
Not sure. It was Kyle McCray, I'm definitely thinking.
Hal McCray, when he was the manager of the Royals, you're talking about. I mean, there's been myriad examples. I mean, Tommy Lasorda, what the bleep do you think I think of his performance? He gave Dave Kingman 3 home. You remember that act. I mean, there's been
Paul Olden was the guy who asked the question.
Paul Olden, now the voice of the Rays, former Yankee.
No, he's the Yankees PA. Now.
Well, I'm saying he formerly of the Rays, Yankees PA announcer now, and back in the day was actually doing Yankees play-by-play on.
Yep.
They were bad during those days. Here's what, you know, it's funny. I always associate. I'm one of the only things I'm good at. I'm actually very good at this, frighteningly good. Images automatically connect to time for me, like in a weird, rare, very accurate way. And I know that when I hear or see, you know, see a highlight and Olden's voice is under it, I know it was a lean time for the Yankees. You just know. There's nobody in the house, and Mattingly's back is shot, and the Yankees had no pitching. But the point being is that I don't know that this is unique to 2019. Now, the one thing, Mike, you can say is that I do believe that players are empowered, emboldened, however you want to frame it, where I think on some, they know that they don't need the media. I mean, they've got Twitter, or they got IG to decipher their own, put out their own flames, or put out their own message, whatever it might be. It's an interesting time. I could have easily buried and bashed the Mets, although I did so selectively. And if you heard the show, this segment, you know what I mean. I don't feel the need to go crazy on this. You know, if the Mets want to fine Vargas for being a little overly assertive, that's fine. I don't think Major League Baseball needs to step in, kept his hands to himself. Callaway shouldn't have to put up a dime. He should not have to apologize. Don't make this into a circus. I don't think they need to do that. I really don't. I don't think they need to do that. I don't think it's a big deal. Or I don't think it's a big enough deal to make into a big deal. All right, let's get Axe Update. We've got inbounds, out of bounds right after that. A good menu. We'll run it down. Axe Update coming at you right now. Here's Rich. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, back on a Monday after the old weekend. Let's do this. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. I will answer the best one. So make it compelling. By the way, I'm going to actually say that for 1 second. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up in a sec here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Teak is out. Enjoy your time off, brother. Well deserved. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. You know, I stumbled upon something today, and it's been a while since I've actually been this torn is maybe the right word, into, for lack of a better word, a Hall of Fame debate pertaining to baseball. And it just happened organically. Something happened with Buster Posey. I have to throw this by you later. I'm not going to do it now because I want to stay on track and do it. And I've already been late the first two segments. and I can't be late on this one because it's obviously a top of the hour. And with all the affiliates, I have to hit it. Otherwise, I probably would be late. But I think it's really interesting. And it's going to start with Buster Posey, but it's going to actually branch into something about Pujols and something about what you can quantify numbers-wise and what you can't. And I really think you guys will like it. So I'll save that for a little bit later. But obviously, Tiki is out, so Santer's going to play me. He's going to hopefully not stumble all over the place like I sometimes do. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
I might jinx myself here, but I better not stumble too much. I wrote these questions.
I got to set the over-under. On Stumbleville.
Let's go 2.5.
I was thinking 3.5, but you know what? No, you know what? I am going to go 3.5 because you're on that. I know you're having some fun on the boat this weekend, on the yacht, drinking. Your girl was there. You're a little hazy, and that's fine. I say over-under 3.5. Count them up, D-Cell. Let's go.
I'm not as worried about the haziness as much as the world is still rocking a little bit with the boat swaying.
You still feel that?
Oh, yeah. For like a day or two after you spend a few days on a boat, you still feel a little bit of that rocking.
I've only slept on a boat. I've only been on one cruise, actually.
Cruise ship is different than a
I've never actually
smaller boat.
Slept.
Like a cruise ship, it's a lot less. Yeah. But anyway, let's get back to it.
Yeah, let's go.
Last week, rumors swirled about the Rockets as reports of discord surfaced around Chris Paul and James Harden, leading to rumors that CP3 demanded a trade. However, yesterday at a charity event, Paul dismissed the talk saying, quote, "I never asked for a trade. I'll be in Houston. I'm very happy about that. I'm good." The 34-year-old future Hall of Famer has 3 years and $124 million left on his monster deal.
Mm-hmm.
So inbounds, out of bounds. Chris Paul will finish up his contract with the Houston Rockets.
No stumbles there, so I might have to press you a little bit. Maybe do a little live betting. Imagine if we start doing live betting, which you can actually do, which I think is dangerous. Actually, I never do that with games. But imagine if we start live betting on segments within the show. Oh, God. All right. I'm going to say out of bounds here. I'm going to say out of bounds. The question again, Chris Paul will finish up his contract with the Rockets. Out of bounds. Now, based on the turn of events and based on, at least in terms of the sentiment that Chris Paul is expressing, apparently it's not an unfixable situation, if you will. It seems like there's a little bit of an out here that they can maybe salvage this. And based on the finances, they have to at least try. Nobody in their right mind is trading for Chris Paul. And it's not that Chris Paul can't help you. Chris Paul, the contract just makes it prohibitive unless they give you a boatload of first-round picks down the road and maybe Capella, whatever. And then if you get rid of Capella, I mean, do you really? It depends what you would do from there. There's just too many moving parts. I think he's on the Rockets next year. And I didn't think that necessarily a week or two ago. But that's a lot of years to go on the contract. And at some point, even though it's changed a little bit, the financial dynamics of the NBA, at some point an expiring contract is still desirable. You know, and at $40-plus million, same with John Wall down the road, you'll probably find somebody. I'll say out of bounds. There's no way he finishes up with the Rockets. No.
Are you in or are you out?
Over in the East, the Sixers made a couple big midseason moves to bring in Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. The two free agent guards combined for 36 points, 13 boards, and 7 assists last year. And despite the fact the Sixers have under $50 million committed to payroll for next year, Bleacher Report's Howard Beck said this week on his full 48 podcast.
It's called The Full 48. So that's technically the hook right there.
All right. That's a half right there. On the Full 48 podcast, I quote, "I have heard some very strong rumblings that the Sixers are going to lose one and maybe even both of Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler." Mm. The Sixers have some strange dynamics with that group.
Oof.
Inbounds, out of bounds. The Sixers should try and bring back both Harris and Butler next year.
Okay. I'm going to say out of bounds here. Now, I do think that Jimmy... Well, first of all, let me at least preface my answer with, you know, Howard Beck, who we've had on the show, there are certain people you bring on the show for information, and then there are certain people you bring on the show for presentation. Obviously, you know, laced with information, but, you know, Howard's an information guy. He's not going to rock the boat. He's not bombastic. He's not all over the map. He's relatively monotone. I know Howard for a long time. New York Times, great roots. He's a journalist. And for him, the wording that he uses to me tells me it's even worse than we thought. Right? For again, when Howard Beck says the Sixers have some strange dynamics with that group, that's akin to, you know, Charles Barkley saying, you got to blow this thing up. It's not working. Like, that's his way of saying it's bad. So right away, I'm going to factor that in my respect for Beck's journalism chops, that he's on to something. Now, I like Jimmy Butler in Philly. I do. He fits to me. That's his city. Blue collar, gritty. You know, he's not afraid to take the last shot. He had Embiid's back. If you remember, we talked about this, Tiki and I, a few times where people question Embiid, you know, during the playoffs, wasn't playing well, wasn't playing at all. And that guy, if you're watching us here on the Tube, Jimmy Butler had his back, and I think there's a good synergy there. Tobias Harris is the one. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. Everybody keeps telling me, oh, he's just such a great shooter. I don't even think he is. I think he's a streaky shooter. I think he's a volume scorer. And I know that this season his numbers were good, were very good from behind the arc. What was it, sub 40? But he's too streaky for me. He's too streaky. And I'm not saying I don't want him on a team. Like, if you put him with the Lakers for the right money, he's great. Hell, I would take him on the Knicks for the right number, for sure. But I just think that he's going to command too much, and I don't think that that's best for them. So my answer is out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Blue Jays starting pitcher Marcus Stroman is known for his antics on the mound, but apparently 1992 AL MVP and Cy Young winner Dennis Eckersley isn't a fan. Now, a Red Sox announcer for NESN, Eck called Stroman's stare down of the Sox dugout, quote, tired, and Stroman wasn't pleased, responding to Eck saying his comments are always trash and that he's, quote, a hypocrite, considering Eck's own behavior on the mound 3 decades ago where he's known to point and scream after a strikeout. So inbounds, out of bounds, Eckersley's comments about Stroman were?
It's a good question. This is a good. First of all, I like the fact that Marcus Stroman knows his history. You know, he's, you know, I mean, Dennis Eckersley played a long time ago. Well, I mean, he was a starter a long time ago with the Red Sox. Obviously, more recently with the A's, you know, Santa just gave you the stats. He was great. Second, I think the second most dominant closer behind Mariano. No one's better than Mariano. Nobody. But, you know, Eckersley, you look at like the Bruce Sutters, and Bruce was great, but I think Eck was better. Lee Smith was terrific. Eck was great. But for Stroman to know that, that was a couple of decades ago. Good on Marcus Stroman knowing his history. And how do I want to answer this, though? Eckersley's comments of, you know what, I'm with Stroman on this. Out of bounds. It is being hypocritical. Now, the one difference, and maybe this is semantics here, and I'm certainly not going to do it justice if we get the camera back on me when they finish up with the Stroman stats there. Like, what Eckersley would do, he would kind of like wind up and like he wouldn't necessarily point at the dugout. It wasn't degrading to the other players. He wouldn't like stare down the opponent, you know, or look at the dugout. It was different. It was more charging himself up and playing to the crowd. To be fair, you know, what Stroman is doing is a little different than what Eck is doing. Stroman's actually making it more personal. Although I'm sure when Eck was doing that, I'm sure guys in the 80s and 90s didn't love on the other team, but I don't think they loved it either. Again, splitting hairs. I like Eck's freedom. I do. But I'm with Stroman on this. A little hypocritical. I agree. Out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Now, something, by the way, Santer, no stumbles? None?
I had a half a stumble.
Well, no, it didn't. It wasn't audible. In your mind, I know, and I know what you're talking about, but you actually did not stumble. It was more fluid than you thought.
What do I win?
You get to keep working the show. What do you win? You win nothing.
So you're saying that I would have been off the show if I stumbled more than 3.5 times?
That was the prize, yes.
Okay, good.
I would think that you would want that prize.
Note to self, have a job.
I was really good, Mike. I mean, I was picking on you with the half, you know, being literal with the, but not I was good. By the way, the fourth question, purposely didn't get to this because it wouldn't be fair. It's about, and we'll get to this later when I can actually expound on this, with Pujols, is he the greatest Cardinal ever? And I want to tie that in with the Buster Posey, what you can prove, what you cannot prove, Hall of Fame debate, for lack of a better description. Human bucket, Joe Johnson, going to join me next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.